in perhaps, you know, the world's greatest sporting precinct, right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Roy Carter.
A fighting is in the time.
He gets inside, well inside.
And anywhere that you can see us, we can win. Listening head and skin, you know, we're behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy, and welcome to 2017.
And we have football back again.
Eventually, yes.
And just as we all expected, we are now living in Dan Butler's universe.
Yeah, that was my hottest take about, as someone who's long thought that Dan Butler is the future of the Richmond Football Club, as Nick, you might recall from all those podcasts we recorded last year that got mysteriously lost and no one ever heard.
It was inevitable from his middling form in the VFL last year. Although we actually, at the end of the season, we did mention that his form got better enough to save his spot on the list. But I don't think we quite expected anything like what we saw on Friday night.
Yeah, I think that analysis was with the benefit of hindsight. I must admit, you know, I've seen him play a bit of football in the VFL, and I literally had never seen him do anything that made me check, you know when you don't quite recognise something, you go back and check. Oh, he did something good, and you check the number. The first time that ever happened to me with Dan Butler was watching the replay on the club's website the other day, the Intracob match, and then he was above average competent for a role player in the NAB Cup match.
I know, he was third, equal first with Toby Nankervis for inside 50s, which I think we can agree was another reasonably unlikely source of production. But yeah, third for metres gained for the match. Yeah,
and the metres gained to me the interesting one. I mean, you know, he'll have some good and bad days, but because he's fast, and you could also extend this to George Cansenia, but both of them, because they have straight line speed, can run in straight lines in a football game. And he's Dan Butler's moment where he broke through the pack and split the line and ran straight at goal. There aren't actually that many players on our list who can do that, and that is sort of the way of modern football. So, well, George, I'm not quite over the line on. Dan, one of them could be very useful as a line breaking speed merchant.
I know our forward line looked a lot quicker, because the other person you have to mention next to Dan Butler is, of course, Daniel Rioli, and you know the commentators were raving about him, and he's building off a pretty solid debut season. But I think actually casting back to the intra-club game the week before, that moment where Dan Butler and Dan Rioli are sprinting through the middle of the field, yeah, that was pretty exciting.
You know, with Rioli, you know, last year the hype machine cranked up a bit, partly because it was such a dismal season and he played well at the end of the year. He got, I thought, actually a disproportionate amount of attention. And he, you know,
well, there is that, and you have to remember that this is a Richmond fan base that, while Richmond's had a very long history of competent key forwards, the forward pocket position has been pretty much a disaster for 20 years. So,
that in the modern media designs demands instant gratification all the time, and you know, 2 weeks is suddenly it's suddenly enough time to build up a trend. But you know, the reality is his first season was not nearly as good as his cousin, and the hype levels were getting I thought slightly overdone. But I'm really starting to come around on that. Like, he's really impressing me. You know, the percentage chance of him becoming an All-Australian, in my mind, you know, it's still below 50, but it has gone up considerably in the last two years I've seen.
Yeah, just some of his work where he'd sort of almost jump to his feet and break through a contest. His tackling, where not only is he a good tackler, but at least once he went in and snatched the ball away from an opponent and snapped it forward. Like, they're just that you know, the cliche stuff you can't teach. But yeah, he's a talent, and he definitely also looks bigger than he did last year.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. He is noticeably bigger. He's put on 5Ks of muscle, but he looks as fast. And that was actually one of my big worries, because he's going really fast, and some players do lose speed when they bulk up. He's not one of them. He also did a brilliant bulk and pass to Grieg at one stage. He just he looks like, and we don't want to overhype him, because guess what? He's young. He's going to have crap games
this
season. But he now looks... he's starting to look as good as his name and worthy of the comparisons with his cousin.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and it is it's such a famous name that you can forget that, you know, his uncle, Dean, was a very solid footballer as well. But, yeah, plenty to like from the forwards. As, you know, Castagna got 3 goals from very limited touches, so if he hadn't kicked the goals, you know, you'd look at his game a bit differently, and he does still shank them a bit, but we are not used to seeing Richmond side with that much pace and athleticism to it, and it was a pleasant experience.
So, I mean, we're bearing the lead here, and the thing that I was really interested in, Nick, and do you want to hazard a guess what I want to talk about most?
Well, I thought the moment that actually made me think of you the most was the reference by a commentator that where Alex Rance credited Justin Lepich for showing him hand techniques of NFL offensive linesmen in helping him become a better player.
Well, that was a... I did notice that, and I thought about it. Like, I had never really noticed that with Rance, unless I mentioned it once in the podcast and forgotten about it. The other thing, that's not what I want to talk about, but...
Oh, well, I've got another one as well, but you go.
But just on that Alex Rance thing, so Alex Rance is an incredibly good footballer, an incredibly good-looking human being, and seems like a very nice guy from his reports. And, you know, in pro wrestling, they talk about, you know, the triple threat of having the look, being good in the ring, and also being good on the mic. And, of course, Alex Rance is good on the mic. Like, he was really personable. He had a lot of, you know, these charisma was coming across on the screen. Like, yeah, he's not bad at anything.
No, I suspect, you know, sometimes when you Google search someone and it comes up, you know, what the first available result is, I'd imagine if you Google searched Alex Rance, the first result would be Alex Rance girlfriend.
That's not uncommon with footballers. Anyway, moving on.
Well, I just, you know, and it can be, you know, as an external audience, it's easy to focus on the negative sometimes, but we do, I think we've been unfailingly positive about the steps the club's done in its community engagement in recent years, and I thought it really took it to another level on Friday night, the way that they let a fairly slow and unathletic fan play in number 7 for the duration of the match. I thought that was a really nice gesture.
Yeah. And the poor guy, like, I mean, it was unfair because you're putting a guy who's just has sort of normal personal
park,
level.
Park footballer.
Yeah, and aerobic fitness and...
intensity.
And, like, I just felt a bit sorry for him. And you could tell by the end of the game he was getting a bit snide. He was starting to snipe people. And, yeah, I just think good idea,
but just the execution.
Yeah. On the other hand, we've also let for the last 4 years or 5 years, this 200-centimeter bloke with no discernible football skills train with us, which is a really nice thing. But you know, at some stage, I think someone needs to take him aside and say, "Mate, why are you still here?" But we digress. Nick.
We're talking about Hammer, aren't we?
No, Hammer's all right. I mean, he played first football. I was talking about Elton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, I was going to make a joke that they only keep Hammer around for the super hot wife.
Oh, Yeah, anyway. Thank you. You gave me an opportunity to segue about what I really wanted to talk about was Will Nankervis.
I'm so happy to have number 25 back as a ruckman.
Indeed. Not a Benny-like player, but some interesting attributes. Now, I was really interested. Like, I went, when we recruited Nank, I really went through it. I went through every single game he played, because it's easy to win a few taps against a second ruck, but I was really interested, is he a viable first ruck? Because, you know, Nank in some ways is from the Ivan Marich school of, if he can just not completely suck in the ruck, he's going to be above average around the ground. And, absolutely, I've seen enough tape of him now to know, in at least in clearance situations, he's elite for ruckman. So the question is, and he's going to lose against the good rucks. He's probably going to lose more tap outs than he wins. But is he going to be at least competitive enough to stop us, you know, becoming dominant and the other team really to strategize around? He just needs to battle. And so I was really interested to see whether he's viable, because there's so little, like his game time with the Swans was so limited, and he hardly ever played first ruck. And the AFL prospectus didn't answer that. They had some very strange stats about him. So I was really interested to see him against Jacobs. And in the limited sample size, he was okay.
Yeah. And he was okay in the ruck, and he had 3 clearances, 3 contested marks, 3 shots at goal. His tackle pressure was good. So, yeah, all the things he does well, if he can not get disgraced in the ruck. So yeah, it was the good version of Toby Nankervis that we got to see.
Yeah, I think we can't. I think the two things I'm very much hoping he's kicking, that's an anomaly. I don't think he'll be.
He's got very good kick for goal rate from the NEFL. He was a very accurate kick for goal and from about a sample size of about 50 shots. So. Yeah, there might have been a few nerves there, I think.
Yeah, I was also, his field kicking was at times poor, but yeah, hopefully you're right, and that reflects well. I think
his field kicking, he needs to, like, he got a bit of excited at points. I think he can be competent, and he needs to stick within his limitations.
Like many ruckmen. And I also don't think, I think that was an outlier for his contested marking, but, you know, he did it.
Encouraging nonetheless.
Yeah, so to me, the key parts of his game will be his ruck work, his below-average ruck work versus his above-average clearance work, and does that balance out to a first ruck? So that's the big question. Can he beat Hammer out for the first ruck this year, or when, you know, they roll Hammer out after doing no preseason again? I can't actually ever remember him doing a preseason for us. Whether he can beat Hammer. So, interesting. Interesting question.
I'd be pretty surprised. As of right now, unless Hansen can play the third game, I can't see him playing without a preseason. Like, Basher Hawley. I think, you know, I would have more confidence in, but yeah, can't see it.
We'll see. Anyway, I think the going to Nank is sort of a tempting move anyway, in the sort of the basket of, you can't do, if you fail and do exactly what's the definition of insanity, is repeating, it's failing and repeating it over and over again, you know, whatever that saying.
Well, and Cruiser is a bit the same template of ruckman as he is. Big endurance, not a huge leaper. Not a massive man, so you know he's probably less vulnerable against Cruiser than he is against some of the really elite rooks.
So I want to talk about Caddy.
I enjoyed his work.
The advanced stance like Caddy, and they tend to like Shane Edwards, who, by the way,
they have this the AFL player ratings have this massive soft spot for these midfielder forward types.
Yeah, and maybe that's because of good reason, because maybe those guys win games, who knows. But he's good, and he really passes the eye test. And we look a much, you know, because he's a big, solid, stocky guy, he's the one whose stock, like, I knew he was a good player, but yeah, his stock's going up with me. I really like him.
Hmm. He's a big boy and clearly extremely competent as a target inside forward 50, which is nice. He's proven solidly competent as a on ball mid. But yeah, and look, Adelaide, they were pretty much full strength in their forward line, which we'll get to, but. They were down on their first choice midfield, so you know our midfield should have been on top, and they were, but the extra depth was nice to see.
Mm. Nick Vlosten. Seems pathologically addicted to getting between 15 and 18 touches, but getting 15 touches in the forward line when you're a good user and generally clever with it, I think, is more useful. I actually prefer him as a forward.
Yeah, look, he wins one-on-one contests as a defender, which is certainly very pleasing, but if he can win one-on-one contests as a forward, that's, as you say, potentially even more useful. Yeah, I liked his game. Didn't, as ever, it sort of leaves you wanting more, but no, it was encouraging.
Speaking of habitually low possession counts, there was sort of some good mail about Batchelor's preseason going around. Yeah. He had a very good Cairns camp. I know it was a difficult matchup. Wasn't a game for the ages for him.
No, it wasn't. Sad to say, I heard that. You know, in thinking about, you know, it was a close to full strength team, but it was a pretty obvious one who's going to give way when Rance comes back in the team.
Yeah, I think Mon Football, one of Batch and Grimes is the better player.
Mm, definitely. What did you think of Camden McIntosh's return?
Oh, interesting you raise him. You may recall, Nick, I'm a big fan of Camden McIntosh. I think he's a really important player for us because he's a big athletic body that covers space. And it was good. I thought it was decent, and I'm glad he's back.
Yeah, I've been thinking about him, and I do like him better as a halfback, I think, as long as he's not super great one-on-one defensively, but he's got a big physical presence. But as a winger, he doesn't win a ton of football. But yeah, as a halfback flanker, yeah, I was encouraged. Yeah, and I mentioned before that Adelaide had their full strength forward line in, and David Asprey was written up very favourably in the AFL prospectus, and yeah, he held up nicely against Tex Walker.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was the best game I've seen Asprey play. I missed some games late last year, but you know, maybe that's the Lepic effect. But we'll see. Like, and now he has to reintegrate with Rance, and let's see how they work together this week. And God, I was relieved that Rance is playing because hamstring tendonitis. Is not the words you want to see next to your best player.
No, I did. I had a moment actually when came across the news that Brett DiLidio struggling with a calf injury again. I was like, you know, wish nothing for the best for Brett as a human being, but it is a little bit of a relief not to be so reliant on the fickle whims of his calf muscles anymore.
Yeah. I can understand that. Sorry, you go.
Oh, you go.
Brandon Ellis.
Completely Brandon Ellis game, I thought.
Yeah. I don't think we need to dwell on it. He is... I'm staying across the Rubicon on him. Not across the Rubicon, I'm just...
He's definitely, obviously, my greatest disappointment of the current era of Richmond is Liam McBean, but Brandon Ellis, from where my expectations were to how I feel about him now, it's been a hard fall. Let's leave it at that.
I agree, and I think that's all that needs to be said.
Mm.
Anyone else want to talk about?
Dan Prestia, we should get to. I thought he was. He's had a interrupted preseason, but he's done a fair bit of work, and he was almost exactly as I expected.
Yeah. And we should point out, he didn't have that much game time. He only had, so he had 12 contested possessions and 60% game time. He was all right. He did a bit of jamming the ball onto the foot, sort of, you know, sort of get a clearance in the contested possession stat, which I didn't love. But, you know, right now, if you said which one was the one that we gave up a lot more for, you'd between Caddy and Prestia, and you'd come down without knowing anything else, you'd actually say Caddy. But as you say, an interrupted preseason. So I'm looking forward to a lot more, but it wasn't a bad start.
No, and look, led the team in clearances, led the team in centre clearances, led the team in tackles, and that's without playing a ton of game time. He was at his best. He was top three in the competition for metres gained a couple of years ago. So that if you can build up to the point where he's got that sort of work rate again, that's the very best version of Dion Prestia we can hope for. It was a solid start.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't pay all that for Dion Prestia to be like a slightly richer man's Anthony Miles. We paid all that for him to be a line-breaking player. So I agree. And we'll wait to see more, hopefully.
Well, the emphasis on increased between, you know, we've mentioned Butler and Rioli. Caddy, Nankervis and Prestia are all pretty good pressure guys as well. I think, yeah, that was... defensively, it was overall an encouraging performance.
Hmm. Anyone else?
Oh, look, Jack Riewoldt, you know, we shouldn't be surprised at his ability to bounce back from yet another off-season surgery, but he is clearly ready for round one on that performance, I thought.
It is Jack. And the interesting question is, will he, based on the team setting in the team photo, he'll be vice-captain, which I'd be completely fine with.
Yeah. I did have a moment where I wondered if Lloyd was... if we've got a couple of younger guys coming through in the forward line, whether or not Lloyd is going to be under some pressure for his spot.
Maybe. I mean, this is a... We haven't touched on it yet, but, you know, if you read the prospectus, the big story in the team section is how we shut... We played very slow football in the sort of the latter two-thirds of the season, play to minimise our loss. Very exciting. No wonder we weren't watching so much football. And, you know, you could see there was sort of your typical pre-season thing where you're doing the exact opposite very much. You're playing on really quickly. And that kind of football, that quick play on football, that if you're, sorry to take a step back, if you're playing slow, move the ball around the boundary, and this was one of the best places to score is from a stoppage in the forward line. We were actually playing to generate stoppages in the forward line. And Lloyd's not a bad player in that. If you're playing slow football, he's creative, he can work well in traffic, he can snap round the corner. Like, Lloyd's a good player for that kind of football. If you're trying to play sort of fast break Western Bulldogs football, you'd rather have Dan Butler, wouldn't you? Because he can break line. So I was actually thinking that myself, that, and you know, you don't want to oversimplify things because all forwards play better in space, but, you know, just relatively, the football last year, maybe I'm just, you know, it's just a half-assed theory, may have suited Sammy Lloyd more, and this year the football might suit some of our young, slightly less skilled, but much better athlete footballs.
Yeah, he didn't get any, you know, Lloyd is a really good shot for goal, and he didn't get any clear shots, but yeah, he wasn't, as you say, he wasn't as well suited to the sort of the faster you know, a bit more chaotic nature of the play. But, yeah, one worth watching. Have you got anything else specifically from the game?
No, I just would say on Lloyd that small forwards are inherently up and down. No, that's enough from the game.
No, that's true. They've announced the squad for the next... I wouldn't have ever anticipated Richmond playing in Mount Gambier, but we are this weekend, and with it's clearly a bit of a different approach to pre-season this year. They've picked almost the same team, minus Prestia, added Alex Rance, and with Townsend, Chol and Broad as the three emergencies from last week back in the squad. But yeah, perhaps they're playing sort of pretty strong team in the first 2 weeks, and then maybe a bit more of a experimental team in the third week, to once people have got some run in their legs.
Yeah, I mean, the two players there that I'm surprised aren't in are Short and Menadue.
Yeah, they're the obvious ones. I mean, you don't, without VFL practice games, you don't know if they're carrying anything, but they were.
Both were in the preseason game, the intercrop.
Yeah.
Interesting was Menadue. I went back and looked at the round one Carlton game just to compare the teams. And Menadue had a really good, well, not a really good, but like, you know, something was an 18 possession game in the first game of the season.
Yeah, kicked in a nice goal, and one to watch. I'll be interested to see what the capacity like is at Mount Gambier.
By the way, just one other player I wanted to mention, Corey Ellis. Stop me if you've heard this. God, he looks classy. Needs to get more.
I know. Yeah. He literally, he's a soothing presence when he gets the football. It just leaves you wanting it to happen more often.
Yeah. It's not bad a contested player either, again, but just doesn't happen that much. Okay.
No, just more, get more football. Look, I've got a couple of random things to bring up. The AFL Women's League's been a big success, and I find it almost impossible to care without a Richmond team.
Yeah, it is. I've heard a few people say that. It's great. It's been a success. Great for the participation. I think it's okay that we don't have a team in straight away, because these things, you know, leagues actually, again, need for instant reaction. Everyone wants to say something straight away. But my first thought was analysing the future of us coming in as an expansion team is, I wonder what the free agency rules are like in women's football. And then I thought, I'm overanalyzing it. But yeah, you know, these things take a long time. So, you know, I'm it's great, it's working well, but I'm fine that Richmond doesn't have a team, and, you know, I look forward to us joining in future. Anything else you want to say on that?
Oh, look, I was interested actually that they're expecting sort of a big expansion in the player pool in a couple of years, because that's when you'll sort of have the first generation where they really significantly invested with Auskick, where you've seen big increase in participation. So yeah, hopefully as that player pool expands, that it won't be, you know, that there'll be opportunities for clubs that come in later to build a decent team.
And people who are coming now continue to come. I want to change the topic, Nick. So I want to get your reaction. I want to get your gut reaction as a Richmond fan to certain ex-Richmond footballers.
Yep.
And in pro wrestling, they talk about faces and heels, good guys and bad guys. You know, who you meant to boo and who you meant to cheer. Now, modern professional wrestling, it's not always obvious. It's very much a personal choice. So I just wanted to get your gut reaction to who's a face and who's a heel for my egg.
Okay.
And I'll start with an easy one.
Yeah.
Matt D.
I think... you know, they say that the worst kind of reaction is no reaction at all, and it's a little bit of a shrug for me. I hope it works out for him, but I just can't. I don't get heat either way.
Okay, I'm not surprised at all by that answer. My heel in the Matt D situation is actually Damien Hardwick, which you don't need to go into. But so I'm similar about Matt D himself. Second one, Brett DeLillier.
Face. Yep. And the fact that we got a good deal for him on the way out, in addition to 243 games of very good football for the Richmond Football Club, and it would still hurt me, perhaps not as much as Richo having to interview Premiership winning player Mitch Morton, but it would still sting if he's lifting up a cup at the end of the year.
Couldn't agree more, especially on the first bit. I think he's a face. He gave plenty to the club, and he gave something on the way out. Good luck to him. Now, here's the one I wanted to talk about. Ty Vickery.
Well, yeah. I think fans are going to boo him. I can completely understand him wanting to move on. I have a whole range of quite complex reactions to Ty, some of which are...
Cut off the rational part of your brain. What's your gut say?
Look, I could find it within me to boo him. if he turns out to be a really good player for Hawthorn.
Okay, firstly...
But I also hope that him and his professional tennis player wife have many male children.
Good point. Now, firstly, I would say on Ty... just in general, it's okay to boo footballers for legitimate reasons if you just don't like them for their on-field acts. There are certain booing that's not okay or has been debated to death, but these people who say you should never boo footballers, well, the reason they get paid so much money is people irrationally watch and pay attention to these sports, even when it's not investment of time. So if they want to be people... Sorry?
They're theatre-goers.
Sorry?
It is sports entertainment of a sort.
Exactly. That is why... rationally... 65,000 people shouldn't have paid Richmond memberships this year when the team's playing 4-1 in the finals eight race. But people do it because they care and they love it. So that that gets... And people get extreme emotion. So people should be allowed to boo. And to me, Ty Vickery, I completely think we did the right thing to get rid of him. I don't mind an irrational reason that he left. He's a straight heel. I don't like him. He appears to be working harder for another club than he did for us. I used to hate the way he used to lead for the ball for us, like call for the ball, so it required an 85-metre kick. He was skillful, he played plenty of good football, but he just wasn't that likable. And
he's a beautiful kick for goal.
Yeah, he was, but I'm going to boo him. And he's playing for a club I don't like either. Anyway, so straight heel for me. Rationally, I wish him all the luck in the world, but, you know, the football fan part of me... For the 3 hours when we play them on Saturday afternoon, he's eminently booable. And which I want to transition to a second issue, Nick.
Yep.
Which was, I was already sick of it, but I knew the Dustin Martin contract negotiation news completely jumped the shark for me when the AFL website published a full 500-word article on what Tyron Vickery thought of the Dustin Martin contract negotiation. I'm already completely sick of it.
And look, I'm glad to see the clubs going hard, putting a big offer in early. Because I would be happiest if they got it sorted out straight away. But it's an interesting situation. He's a restricted free agent, so we have the right to match any deal, which means he only leaves if we're happy to accept the compensation that we would get, which given the offer that we've tabled for him, it would be a first round draft pick. And if, assuming he's much more likely to leave for an unsuccessful year, but, if the downside to this situation is that we have two top 10 picks and three top 15 picks in this year's draft, then that's a manageable situation.
Exactly, and that was a point I wanted to make too. That there is a scenario where it's not unambiguously a bad thing that he leaves. It's not a scenario we want to happen, but it is.
No. First best is him re-signing,
and us winning a final.
And us winning a final. The alternative is not a disaster. I've got a couple of a few of the small things that keep me amused in the long summer months. I enjoy tracking the careers of junior father-son prospects more than is perhaps healthy. But so we've got Patrick Naish, who we've talked about before, seems on track to be certainly a national draft pick and perhaps a sort of round three type pick. Another one that's been mentioned is Josh Broderick, but he'd need to improve quite a lot in order to be a rookie pick from what I've seen of him so far. But, you know, it's always nice to have them. And the other one to keep an eye on, people may have seen the new Richmond Multicultural Academy for Northern Victoria. They've had a couple of the players down at the club training, and the drums are beating that there's some pretty good talent, perhaps not this year, but in the next couple of years, likely to come out of our academy.
Okay.
Anything else for you?
So I just want to say three things that I want from the next preseason game, which a lot of people will probably listen to it after it's over, so hopefully they came true. One is Corey Ellis having plus 20 possession game, preferably plus 22. Second is Oleg Markov to bounce back hard.
Yeah, we didn't mention him, but he's a beautiful athlete. He needs to be more physical in his defensive work.
Yeah, look, he had a crap game, but he's young. You can forgive him. I hope he bounces back.
He is top three at the club as an athlete. So happy to be patient with him.
And thirdly, because this is going to shock you, Nick, what am I going to talk about?
Ruck statistics?
Yes. Nank looks like a viable first ruck.
Oh, I like it. And actually, I thought Ivy looked a bit more flexible, which perhaps is a sign that last year he was affected as much by a back injury as he was by the effects of old age. So, yeah, if he's... You know, and which along with Ivan Soldo looking decidedly moderately competent in the intra-club game, that perhaps our ruck depth isn't as bad as it could have been.
You were right. He did look good, and he looked much lighter-footed. There was a few times some of his best work was not against Jacobs, but, he's hoping. And I just... he's
Jenkins is a pretty solid backup run. Oh, well, I suppose there was O'Brien as well. But, yeah.
One thing I think about with Marich is because he's always been a high work guy. He's worked really hard in the gym. He's got high reps during games. Can he transition into someone, a guy who, spots? Can he extend his career by playing, the occasional senior game and playing well in bursts? Or does he, because he's unlikely to win the first ruck and get a lot of reps this year.
No.
Can he play well in bursts? We'll see.
Yeah, worth following. Okay, I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.